to Full Power Living with Eileen Dillon.
Happy Thanksgiving 2015. This is Eileen Dillon, your host. Thanksgiving is really important to me, and I didn't know how important it was until a few years ago when I discovered that I actually was born on the first modern Thanksgiving Day declared by Franklin Delano Roosevelt back in 1942. That means I'm about to embark upon my 73rd year on this planet. And it inspired me to create the following show for you, which is a retrospective through the eyes of my friends, acquaintances, colleagues, and family of the past, the first 72 years of my life. It turns out that this is a two-hour program rather than our standard 1 hour, and it's because the people that I've interviewed show so much compassion, have so many interesting things to talk about in terms of how human beings function and what actually touches them, that I don't really want to cut anything out. So I hope that you're inspired and touched, and also perhaps we'll consider collecting this kind of information from your friends, acquaintances, and family. It's really an amazing process. Thanks very much for joining us and helping us in our mission to awaken the world to the power and importance of human emotions. You are Rich Friesen, so talk just for a minute about what you do in your life right now and how you came to know me.
Okay, my biggest passion right now is building Mind Muscles Academy. It is focused on behavioral change. If we can create, well, I know that I can work with people and present an environment to them that gives them more choices and allows them to create behavioral changes that feel better in the moment, that honor their values and get them to their goals. The question is, though, that at one at a time, it doesn't help a lot of people. And secondly, I don't make a lot of money. So my goal is to create behavioral change and leverage it through internet courses. And Mind Muscles Academy is all about that. And right now I'm working with active traders to help them expand their mental game and improve their trading financial outcomes. I've been doing it for about 3.5 years, and it's taken me far longer than I thought, but we're gaining traction and we got happy customers.
I think you and I got to know each other many, many years ago through a phone call and then eventually meeting in person. Is that correct?
Right. We were looking for a playmate for our oldest son, Jeremy. And I don't remember, maybe it was through the nursery school at San Anselmo Presbyterian Church.
I think, yes.
Yeah, that you were there, and I said, oh, okay, there's a boy about Jeremy's age and lives right on the hill. So I made a call, and everything was downhill from there, or uphill from there. Or I didn't mean that bad. I mean, everything was easy going from there.
I was downhill from you.
Okay, you were downhill from me.
I was. Okay, so in thinking about this, I just came up with these questions that I didn't want it to be all like a solicitation for you to say wonderful, kind, nice things about me, though I am going to receive that if you have it to say.
I appreciate your support of my wife, Marty, as a friend. It's really clear you are my friend no matter what. I mean, there's a loyalty there that, and a long time frame that has been just wonderful.
Agree. So I just want to say, as long as you guys keep feeding me, all of this will hold true. For those of you who are listening, Rich and his wife, Marty, and I have shared Thanksgiving at their home almost every year for the last 33, 34 years.
Been that much? Wow.
Well, I think since John was quite young.
Yeah.
So do you have a story about any way in which I may have impacted your life?
Yeah, I think just the modeling has been the most meaningful part of our relationship in terms of being, I mean, you are just ooze support and acceptance and awareness, and that modeling of being are. You know, the other piece is that one of the things that I know that you get a lot of in your life, there's a lot of areas where just emotionally you didn't get a lot of support growing up, and your willingness to ask for that. I mean, in my Midwest upbringing, that was verboten. I mean, that was just not to be done. Oh my God, that just violates every, and alarms go off. But, you know, when you ask for things that you need, emotionally or whatever, it like I went, oh no, you're not supposed to do that. But what I have learned now, in fact, I'm even taking it into relationships, is to really be clear about what I want and to ask for that. And that modeling has made a real positive impact for me, and I just want to give you my appreciations for that.
Wow, thank you. Just for a piece of feedback, my southern upbringing told me never to ask too. That's something I had to learn how to do. Okay, so the last thing I want you to comment on, and I'm asking everybody to do the same question so we can see what kind of variety we get, and so I have lots to receive, is I've been told I may live another 25 or 30 years by various psychics, and I don't know whether to count on that or not. But in addition to getting older, is there anything you could forecast for me in the coming 25 to 30 years?
Sure. Just let me step into my future predicting mode and let me channel the future here.
Wonderful.
Okay, it's coming to me. It's
Only
coming.
in California.
Oh, it's coming to me. It's close, Eileen. We're here. Okay. I see your community continuing to grow of people who you have loved and supported. I see a tremendous amount of positive emotional feedback coming your way and hugs and love. I see you gaining in personal stature. It's almost like I see you physically getting taller. I know that's not likely, so I'm going to reinterpret that as just growing more resilient, growing taller, able to give. To open the doors to more and more people, to expand their lives, model for them. I see joy in your children, in your grandchildren, and seeing their lives being impacted by the modeling you give them, that when they have negative self-talk or when they have a belief system or a behavior, that you can gently present alternatives to them and to, and in fact, that goes to everybody in your life. So I see you in your future. My picture that came from the universe is of you just growing. I'm seeing you 15, 20, 30, 40 feet tall. And I know that that is unlikely physically, although it could happen. But I just see that as psychic energy that is growing and the love that you have spreading over to more and more people, and that effect changing bits and pieces of the world we live in.
Wow, that was really good. That was really good. Thank you. And you're demonstrating one of the things that I've loved about you for so many years is your wacky sense of humor and your willingness to put it out there. Well, thank you very much for helping me to celebrate my 73rd birthday. And I unfortunately will miss Thanksgiving with you this
You
year, but
will. This will be, we'll, it's not going to be the same. We're going to be all sad and unhappy. We're going to eat the, you know, the all Marty's wonderful food and her tremendous pies and we're going to resist enjoying it completely because we know you're not here. So we're going to all be miserable while we eat it, just in honor of you.
a little contradiction there. All right. Thank you so much, Rich.
Okay, Eileen, thank you. And take care, and we'll talk to you soon.
All righty. Bye.
Bye.
I'm talking now with two relatively new friends in my life. You've heard from people who came into my life as long ago as 44 years. These, I think I've known Tom and Bonnie for a year or more, and I would introduce them. They live in Seattle, and they have founded something called CCFL Global Academy, which they'll probably tell you about. And so, Bonnie and Tom Liotta, thank you for being here on Full Power Living. Welcome.
Oh, thank you so much for having us, Eileen. We're happy to be here for the special show. I can't wait to hear the whole thing.
Yeah, me too.
All right, so tell me, tell our listeners what it is that you're doing in your life right now.
Oh, boy. Just to make a long story, a 20-year journey, actually make it times two with Tom, a 40-year journey in just a couple of minutes. We are passionate to help people wake up to their authentic selves, their pure potential. We wake them up, we coach them, and we transform them. And it goes with adults as well as, well, parents. Parents are not separated from adults, but parenting and success coaching and that kind of thing.
Absolutely. We love to take them from zero to hero in their world, which is kind of a task in itself, because we just find out, like a you are here dot, like it on a directory in a mall. And then we find out where they want to go, and we do everything we can to serve and get them the shortest, quickest, fastest path to what's important to them.
Wow, that's a nice way of putting it. I'm going to model myself on it. Usually people have qualities that are difficult for others or challenging, and they have qualities that other people really like in them. And so I'd like to hear from both of you about those kinds of qualities in me that you've run into. Now, we've worked together, putting classes together and doing hangouts and on Google and various things over the last year and a half, and had other interactions on a more of a private basis. So I know you've had, although we've never met in person, you've had plenty of opportunity to get to know me as I have with you. What is challenging for you, and what is serving to you or helpful to you about me?
Well, I think if you asked me the same question 20 years ago, there probably would have been a lot that I could have said were challenging for me, Eileen. Thank goodness I've had some personal development. I've learned to accept personal responsibility. So by the time I met you, I actually met you on a LinkedIn group through Parenting 2.0, and I was watching your comments and your suggestions, and I just started to see who you really were as a person through your own perception. And I just knew that you were a woman that spoke the truth. You were bold. You were going to say it no matter what anybody else thought. And not only that, you were always just, in my opinion, like right on the money, you know, with everything that you were saying, to be able to help people in the world go to a much higher vibration. But I do want to say that I would never want to be on your bad side, because I've heard people offer complaints and things when you're around, and you definitely don't listen to it.
In other words, you wouldn't get anywhere with me if you complained. Is that it?
Yeah, I would never complain to Eileen.
Okay.
I've got a nice little lingo to it. I would never complain to Eileen. Yeah, and if I could just add a plus one to that, the thing I would probably have the toughest time with would be if I were to have you in my life as I was a kid, teenager, or maybe in my 20s, because you would have been somebody to call me on my shit. And that's an acronym, SHIT, Spiritual Harmony Integrating Totally, because I used to try to lie, cheat, and steal to cut corners, and I got pretty good at it. But for you, I think you not only have me pegged, you remind me so much of a dear woman that's in my life, which was my grandma. And she used to go by Mom because she didn't want to be known as Grandma. But now that I'm in the journey that I've been in, and I'm in my 40s, and maybe it's a blessing that I met you now, I could see for the next 20, 30 years, however long that you choose to be here before we all celebrate Happy Transition Day, I think it's an absolute blessing, because not only would you call me on something, which is what I'd expect you to do, like, hey, Tom, you got some broccoli in your teeth, rather than let me walk around, then I can really, we can leverage our energies and really build something. And that is a neat gift that you give to the world, Eileen.
Thank you. Thank you. Well, you went from negative to positive right there. That's good. That's good.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am.
All right. So do you have any other, I'll just fish for it here. Do you have any other qualities that you've run into with me that you see as positive? And if you don't have any more to say about that, perhaps you have a story you could share.
Absolutely. We're both playing rock, paper, scissors over here on who's going to go first, and Bonnie won. So go ahead, Bonnie.
Oh, my gosh. Okay, Eileen. Well, here's a story for you. Is we were having a conversation, or you were sharing some wisdom. So when I think of Eileen Dillon, I picture an earth, like, wisdom tree, you know, almost from that movie.
Avatar.
Yeah, the big wisdom tree in Avatar is how I picture Eileen. And we were talking about her one day, and I was telling Tom how much I loved Eileen, like, as a human being, like, as a, you know, as a mom figure or whatever. And then we would fight over who loved Eileen as a mom or as a grandma the most. So that's a story and a quality all in one for me.
Yeah, absolutely. And of course, you know, happy wife, happy life. Bonnie always won that argument, hands down. But the plus one that I would love to share is that I see you as a, oh gosh, I visualize a Weeble Wobble. And if anybody knew what one of those were, they were that cool toy as a kid. You could punch it and it would just bounce over and bounce right back up. And no matter how much you punched it, it's like, man, I'm tired. It's just going, is that all you got? And you've got that just quality of perseverance that when you know something is right, you are just God-driven to make sure that what is right stands for right. And if anybody were to have that integrity, I think if that was in the dictionary, your picture should be right next to it. Because every time that there was something that should be done or said right, Eileen would always be there. And so if we were ever on opposite teams, then I would know that, wow, we're going to take second place to get against Eileen's team. And if I ever wanted to be on the winning team, then I might just sneak over and change uniforms and be on your side, because everything that you do in life is always seems to be right. And that's been my experience with you for the last year or two.
Well, there's wisdom. There's wisdom, because Eileen, I don't think there's anything right or wrong in Eileen's book. I think there is just is. And so when you are the leader of any kind of circumstance or situation, Eileen, you're always going to be right in the eyes of everybody watching, because you just follow the universal truth. You don't get emotionally attached, is what I'm trying to say. You would never have a temper tantrum. Well, I can't, I'm sure you did in your past, for sure, but I just can't see you doing that now. Even when you drove 8 hours in the wrong direction, you still laugh it off and you learn from it. And that's what you teach, and that's what you live.
We have Amelia on this program, and she talked about that. The Grammy's Great Adventure Day in Ireland. Yeah. Well, thank you. Thank you. You know, you remind me that when my son was young, I think he was about 18, he told me one Mother's Day that he'd always thought I was the most stubborn woman he'd ever encountered, because he would get up to a certain point and I just would not budge. And that in the last year, when he was 18, he was beginning to realize that it was because I run my life on the basis of principle, as you said, Bonnie, and that when I hit my principle, I won't move, because I'm living on the basis of principle. And by the time he was 18, he could appreciate that about me. So I'm glad you can see that. You're right, it wasn't always true. I've had so many problems in my life and childhood, and one of the things I'm so excited about is that I was able to get past them, and living by principle is part of that. So thank you for bringing that up.
Yeah, and if I could just slide in for just one quick plus one for 10 seconds there. The stubbornness is for people that are trying to get away without doing the right things. I could see the stubbornness. But the opposite of stubborn to me is determined. And so anybody who's looking to go and do what's right would also call you, she's the most determined woman, because it's a matter of point of view, whether they're against or for what you stand for. And so I think both of them are equally important to share.
Thank you.
I want to see a book called Basis of Principle. I want a book teaching young women and men, maybe even, but definitely young women, how to live their life by principle. That just struck me.
Okay. I'm writing it down.
I already wrote it down, but yes, please write it down. That is a powerful idea. If you could do that and you can teach other people to do that, Eileen, that would free so many women. Yeah, thank you.
Sure. I hope you'll listen to the show, because I did an interview with my daughter, Liz, who illustrates in her being the doing of that. And she also talks about it. And it's nice. And she even brings up how it has gone through her into the next generation. So that's a really powerful thing about living by principle and passing it on to your children, is that you can keep affecting people as it goes down the line. To the seventh generation, people will be living by principle.
Yes.
So that's really cool. Yeah. So speaking of to the seventh generation, the last thing I ask you is, I've been told by people that I could live to 102 or 107, depends on, or 105, excuse me, depends on who you're talking to. And so I could have another 25 or 30 years to live, apparently. And I'd like to hear your forecast for what you think my life may be like during that 25 to 30 years.
Wow. Well, let's see. How do I take a three-day dialogue and sum it up in just a few words or just a few minutes? Here's a vision that pops in my head for you, Eileen. One is, I see you authentically having everything in your life, step by step, every 10 years, decade after decade, building and preparing for this moment today. And what I visualize you moving forward is, you're stepping into some amazing power as a leader, as an example of infinite possibilities to other people that maybe lack a confidence to go, gosh, I've always wanted to do that, but I just didn't know how. And here's somebody that could probably help me reach what I want to be. So my visualization is, I see you over the next 10, 20, 30, 40 years being that inspiration that what one woman can do, another woman can do. And in this case, what one person can do, another person can do. And that's what I see you doing, and everything you've done in your life up to this day, of all your stories that I've had the privilege to hear from, and all the other things that everybody else is listening to, you have an amazing amount of value to give the world. And just the fact that you went through all those ups and downs to be able to speak the truth to others that are going to be going through the same journey. Yeah, you still have a lot of amazing work to do, and that's why you're still here and you'll be with us for a very long time.
Yeah, I definitely don't see any rest in your future, Eileen. I'm sorry to say.
Oh, no.
I see you wanting to rest. I do see best-selling author. I see you leaving a legacy. I see you being more famous 50, 60, 70 years from now than you are even now. So just know that your work is going to carry on for generations. You're here. You've left a thumbprint, so to speak, and you are not even close to being done.
Well, there are pluses and minuses in that forecast, aren't there? For me, I mean, not even close to being done. The biggest thing that I find myself feeling in reaction to what you said, Bonnie, is that I'm really grateful to be seen as accomplishing what I believe I came to the earth to do, which is to help others. And so thank you for that gift. And you too, Tom. I mean, both your comments. And I'm tickled with your projection there.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for interviewing us and for having us be part of your show today. We are absolutely honored and privileged to be here. And we love you, and happy birthday.
Oh, thank you so much, both of you, Tom and Bonnie, for being in my life and for being here to help me celebrate my 73rd birthday.
Absolutely. It's our pleasure, and there's many more to come.
All right. I'll call you.
Okay. All right. Bye, Eileen.
Bye-bye. My next interviewee is my wonderful, talented, and lovely niece, Nicolette, the daughter of my older sister, who unfortunately passed away in 2005. And we've known each other for a lot of time. And Nicolette, tell everybody what it is that you do in your life right now.
I'm a jewelry designer, and I'm living in Chico with my husband and my two dogs and our lovely house.
Very nice. All right. So I've been sharing with people that I've been learning to receive, Nicolette. So this is an exercise of me receiving. And I want to start by asking you what characteristics I might exhibit that may have been challenging to you over the time that you've known me, and also what characteristics may have been especially positive for you.
Yeah, well, I'll start out with the positive, which is that you have been an incredible friend and advisor to me over the years. I kind of consider it like my free family therapy. I get the family price. And you are very, very good at doing that, which is, of course, why you got into your line of work. But also, one of the things I really appreciate about you is you're just a really great hostess, and you're a great cook, you're a great gardener, and those are kind of things that I've always aspired to, only you've done it so much better than I ever have. So I continue to kind of learn and grow from anytime I'm around you. Your ability to build community and bring people together is amazing, absolutely amazing. You've done it in our family, you've done it with friends, you've done it with your husband and his family. It's really amazing to watch. So that's the positive for me. And then the negative is you're so stubborn, just like most of the people in our family, like my mother, and you and my mom would butt heads a lot. So I remember that growing up as being like, oh no, there they go again. But I love strong women, so that's it all makes sense.
Very good. I'm laughing because, of course, the people in my family call it stubborn, and people that I've interviewed who are not in the family call me determined.
So it's funny. Okay. Well, there you go.
So it's funny. It's delightful to see all these patterns. So another thing I'm asking everybody is, do you have a story of an interaction that we had that had an impact on you?
Well, I got a couple things, actually. One is that when I was 13, I got my period, and Liz had just gotten her period, and you and my mom hosted a party for her and then subsequently for me. And I was given a matriarchal line of all the women in our family, kind of a graft of that. And we drank milk and we drank wine and we celebrated it and we had it at your house. And again, you're the consummate hostess. So I just remember that was something that my aunt did for me that was very much kind of in the roots of our being, you know, like, very earthy, here I am turning into a woman, we're kind of celebrating that. And it kind of was like so important that you were there in that passage for me and that you were the hostess of that passage.
Oh, thank you.
And the other thing, and this isn't exactly an antidote so much, but at Christmas when I was 8, you gave me a ring, a sterling silver and garnet ring from the Victorian era. And my fingers weren't even big enough for it to fit yet. So about a year later, I started wearing that. I wore that every day of my life until I turned 40 and had it replaced by my wedding ring that was based on the design of the ring you gave me. And I'm a jewelry designer, and I didn't know I was going to be a jewelry designer when you gave me that ring. So that particular piece of jewelry is probably the most important piece of jewelry in my life up until my wedding ring.
Wow. Wow. Who would have known? Well, you're quite welcome. You're quite welcome. Who would have known?
I still have it. It's worn to, you can't even tell what it used to be because it's a little worn out. I loved it. It was a very meaningful object in my life.
Wow, and it sort of presaged. Now I know that I work on the basis of intuition, but at that time I wouldn't have told you that I had any intuitive connection by giving you a ring. But of all the things I could have given you, that's really great that that happened. Yes.
Yeah, it was kind of a grown-up ring, so it wasn't a typical ring you'd maybe give an 8-year-old. It was a grown-up ring, kind of, and it was the perfect ring for me.
Good. I'm glad I was able to do that. So one of the other things, people have told me that, psychics have told me that I may live to over 100. So I figure I have maybe 25 or 30 more years, and I'm asking people, what would you forecast for me for my life over the next 25 or 30 years as you know me?
Well, I have a good answer, but I don't think it's a pretty obvious one. One is you're going to continue to write books and have radio programs and inspire people and help people deal with their emotional lives and give practical solutions to it, which is one of the things I love about your form of therapy. You're very much, you know, not in the sky with it. The other thing is you are going to see your grandchildren grow up and have great-grandchildren. And that's going to be awesome because you'll have enough time with that span to do so. And then the last thing is you're going to go on Oprah, and that's really going to help your career.
Wow, thank you. It's funny. I go back and forth about that, whether I even want to or not. But I think it's possible if I formed a clear picture that I wanted to, that I would do it. So thank you.
Yeah.
Yes. I like that. I like that.
Yeah.
Well, thank you very much for being on Full Power Living with me today. And thank you for your wonderful insights and comments and stories. It's been a pleasure, Nicolette. Thank you.
Pleasure too, and happy birthday.
All right.
I love you too.
Bye. More than 15 years ago, I used to walk my dog in my neighborhood, and there was a particular woman who I frequently ran into and had very interesting talks with her. She now works with us, helping me with my ill husband. And let me introduce you to Lynette Rivard.
Hi, Eileen.
Hi.
Oh, thank you for the introduction. That was very sweet.
Well,
I wanted to mention that that I was working with a woman with Alzheimer's on your block about 15 years ago, and at the time I had become estranged from my mother and my family over a situation that had broken my heart, and I was in a lot of emotional pain at that time, and I really didn't have the resources to kind of move forward in my life in that regard. And we just kind of met when you would walk your dog and I would be out in the front doing some yard work. And you would often talk to me and not only be very supportive of what I was going through, but also give me a lot of direction that helped me move on and not just stay stuck in a really bad place. And with your help, I've been able to totally move through it. I have a great relationship with my mother and the rest of my family now, and I feel like a much stronger emotionally stronger person now because of the gifts and the talents that you have, and I'm very honored and blessed to be able to work with you and your husband now that he's sick, and so I thank you.
Wow, that's a lovely story. Thank you. I don't know what to say about that, Lynette. That's nice. Thanks.
Well, thank you. I guess we're both thankful.
All right. Well, it's Thanksgiving Day. That's very appropriate.
That's right. I agree.
All right. So my next guest is a woman I have known for 45 years, Corey Susser, who, when I was pregnant with my first child and moved into my very first home in Fairfax, California, right above San Francisco, turned out to be my neighbor. And she turned out to be a wonderful friend. So, Corey, welcome to Full Power Living, and tell everybody what it is that you're doing with your life right now.
Hello, Eileen, my friend. So what I am doing in my life 45 years on, I am somewhat retired. I tutor in English. I have a small part-time bookkeeping practice. And I have come home to Vancouver to live out the rest of my life where I was born.
Wow, wow. And I just, as you're going through that litany, I'm thinking about the fact that you were the president of the school board in Marin County, and you have managed political campaigns, and you ran a theater in Marin County, and you are just a multi-talented human being. Plus, you were an actress early in your life as well.
That was a very minor point in my life. Yes, but a moment. I loved it, but it was a moment.
Yes,
yes, I did all those things. But I think that we all do. We all have many iterations of career, and the last thing that I did before I came back to Vancouver was I owned an art gallery and framed art.
Oh, that's right.
With my hands, which was brilliant. That was my career for the final 15 years before I moved back to Vancouver.
Great. So for these purposes today, I'm celebrating my 73rd birthday here on the 26th, and I'm asking the people that I've known in my life to comment on their relationship with me and what I have been to them. So let me ask you that, and you don't have to be all hearts and flowers. You can say the rocky parts too if you like, please.
Okay. All right. So you had asked about things about you that challenge me, mm-hmm. and things about you that have inspired or helped me.
Right.
And I was seriously thinking about those things, my friend, and realized that the answer is almost the same for both questions. So the challenging things about you for me, from the very first moment I met you, the very first moment I saw you, you were in a bikini, 8 3/4 months pregnant, playing badminton in public in your front yard.
That's true.
No, I was a 22-year-old newly married, good, well-raised Catholic girl from Vancouver, and I certainly did not consider myself any sort of a priss or a prude, but that was wonderfully shocking to me. And so your first lesson to me was about loving my body in all of the shapes, and I was soon to take on your same shape. I became pregnant and had my first baby right across the street from me. Anyway, so the things about you. Your honesty has sometimes been a challenge. Your no-nonsense attitude towards almost everything was a challenge. Your questions to me through our lifetime together have been a challenge, and your expectation that I would answer honestly is maybe the largest challenging thing about you. That expectation put pressure on me to actually do some work in order to be able to answer your questions. So the things about you that inspired and have inspired and helped me over the years was, and again, here we go, your curiosity about people and about living that lead you to ask the questions that are challenging. I love your faith that I was and would always be capable of answering you honestly, and your certainty about, and this is another major lesson from you, your certainty about yours and mine, everybody by extension, our ability to not just survive what we have to survive, but to thrive. So there's my response to you, my friend.
Wow. Wow. Yeah. I love that. Thank you. You really know me. Okay. So do you have a story?
Well, the story that sort of ties all of this together, and that's, I think it was remembering the story. The story that first comes it, to my mind when I think about you in my life is a night, three years on, God, maybe not even, I was in full crisis. I was fully pregnant with, I believe, my second child. I was quite certain that everything about my life was blowing up and falling apart. I was crying. I couldn't stop crying. Very briefly, you took me by the hand that night, and you very calmly, honestly, without lots of loaded language, without any loaded language, I think, you made me step through the worst night of my life, and you made me step through what I was experiencing, what was the likely outcome, what were the possible outcomes from what my fears were all about that night. And then the glorious part was you helped me see that I would be okay. And I wouldn't just be okay, I would be good. I don't mean good in the good girl thing. I mean my life would be good. And it was an amazing, empowering night, and I've never forgotten the lessons from that night. So my husband in later years would turn to me and complain, and mildly, or sometimes not so mildly, "You don't need me," he said, at the worst of his times, right? He would say, "You don't need me." And I say, "No, I don't." I said, "But I want you. I choose to be here." Right?
That's right? Great.
And,
yeah.
And it was about, it was a lesson that of course I took and then deepened and then applied in other ways in my own life. But it was about owning myself. It was all about owning myself and what that means.
Wow, that's such a gift for you to share that. Thank you.
Well, it was a great gift that night. It was just, that's just part of your wonderful skills. Now, about your future, darling. The only
okay, watch out.
The only thing I have to offer you about your future is more of the same, sweetheart. You're going to stay deeply connected into the lives of the people that you touch. And, oh, there was one other thing. Where was it? The future. You're going to come and visit me and go camping with me and hiking. We may need to go out to Shy Shy Beach on the very northwest tip of Washington State because it's a stunning place to backpack to. So that's in your future. What was the thing? Oh, and it was And the final thing, what you asked a question about anything else I wanted to say, right? Mm-hmm. Just thank you for being my friend. Mm-hmm. And especially, I think that friends do that for each other. Somehow when we connect with each other in friendship, we also take on some of the baggage that each of us carry. And you have a very big, compassionate heart, and you've been able to extend that compassion and love to the people that I love. And that's a wonderful thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you. I want to mention, I think on that beach there is a radar dome. And just to mention to you that my father was the person responsible for placing that radar dome in that northwesternmost point of the continental United States.
Oh, for heaven's sake.
Yes, I didn't know that because my father never talked about his job, but right. He came to visit once and told us that during World War II, it was his job to select the placement for all military radar domes down the West Coast.
Oh, for heaven's sake.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, it's an amazing place. I was there last year, Eileen, and it was a wonderful place to and it was my first backpacking experience ever. I'd never gone backpacking. Yeah.
Well, definitely I'll meet you there and we'll go backpacking.
Okay. All right.
Thank you so much for helping me celebrate my 73rd birthday.
Happy birthday, darling.
Thank you.
Happy birthday. Yeah.
My next guest is my wonderful daughter-in-law, Anne Lambert. Anne, welcome to Full Power Living. Tell us what you do and how long you and I have known each other.
I work for the federal government, and we've known each other for 18 years.
All right. So you and I just talked about this before we started recording. What are some of the things you may not like about me or that have been challenging for you? You're the only one I'm interviewing who's I'm actually the mother-in-law of. Do you have any mother-in-law stories or jokes or complaints?
Well, the first thing that came to mind would have to be that your wonderful son is so incredibly stubborn. And I think that that was the first and only thing that I can think of that I go, God, I wish she didn't raise such a stubborn son.
Well, as I've explained to you over the years, I couldn't do everything. I had to leave something for you.
Yes, that is my challenge. Our challenge.
Okay. So I'm asking everybody if there are qualities about me that have had a positive impact on you.
Oh, absolutely. Your compassion, your willingness to share stories and help me through difficult times, and just being a real shoulder to lean on when I've had difficulty, when I needed to work things out, just really being there emotionally and present when I've had a problem, as well as when I've had good times. But it's really been influential when I've had difficult times.
Thank you. That's really lovely to hear. So do you have a story about an interaction that we've had?
My father recently passed, and I have to say that just having you being present and available to me when I was going through a really hard time, even though I didn't want to talk to anyone, just having you send a card telling me that you're thinking about us and that you are giving us your love and support just meant the world to me. I was not in a place where I could really talk to anyone, but receiving just the warmth in your card from you and Bob was just really touching for me.
Wow. I'm so glad to know that. All right. Thank you. And so as I've been reminding people, some psychics have said I might live to 105 years old, and that's going to give me another 25 or 30 years of life. So do you have any predictions for how you see my life might unfold from this point?
I see you writing a book. I really do. I really see you writing this book that's going to be helping individuals get through and understand their emotions and get through difficult times and good times.
All right. All right. That I've done a few of already, so I have more.
You've got experience, but I really see a bestseller here.
Oh, very good. All right. Well, I know your predictions. You once told me that you could see that you were going to have two children, two girls, I think, and that's exactly what you've had. So I'm going to believe you, girl.
Well, I'm looking forward to getting your book autographed.
Absolutely. I'll sign it twice for you. And thank you so much for being on my birthday show.
Thank you so much.
My guest now is a wonderful young lady who is 10 years old, and she's my son's oldest child, my wonderful granddaughter, Amelia. And Amelia goes to fifth grade, and she and I also traveled in 2014. We traveled together for 2 weeks in Ireland, just the two of us, where Amelia, at age 8, gave a speech to an international parenting conference quite successfully. So, Amelia, I'm proud of you, and I'm also really glad to have you here to help me celebrate my 73rd birthday. Welcome.
Hi, Grammy.
Hi. So I'm asking people to tell me, Amelia, in what way I touch their life. Do you have some ideas about how I touch your life?
Well, I kind of think that you really influenced me to be myself, and I can be a lot more relaxed with you. And that I can speak freely with you without having to worry about being laughed at or being embarrassed, because, yeah, that kind of happens a lot.
That's one of the hard parts of being in fourth or fifth grade, huh?
Yep.
Yeah.
If you make a mistake, everybody laughs about it for, like, 5 months.
Oh my goodness, that sounds like a prison sentence. I'm sorry about that.
Seriously?
So, yeah, really. So I appreciate that piece of feedback. Is there any quality about me, any way that I am or that I act that has inspired you or made you feel good or one of those kinds of things?
You have really helped me kind of open up, because before I was like a crate with a lot of emotions, and you helped pry it open.
Nothing like traveling in the back seat of a car in Ireland with your grandmother driving on the wrong side of the road, huh?
That was really scary.
Yeah, it opened your emotions a lot.
Yeah, I'm like, Grammy, you're on the wrong side of the road.
I remember what you said. You said, Grammy, I think you came closer to those cars than you thought. Do you remember that?
I'm pretty sure I do. But this was 2 years ago.
Yeah. So another thing I've been asking people, Amelia, is to tell me a story about a time when we were together and something happened that had some meaning for you. Would you have a story like that?
I have a few, but probably going to bring up one about Ireland because it stayed pretty fresh and clear in my mind.
Okay.
So, I'm not sure how to put this, but I remember when we first got to Ireland, and it was really scary, to be honest, because I didn't know what was going to happen, how the people were going to be, if it was going to be kind of like California where everything's in a bustle, everything's so scary, everything's like really tense, or I wasn't sure if it was going to be kind of like, I don't know, the Swiss Alps. You get to do whatever you want. It turns out it was kind of in between. It was like, in places like Dublin, it would be really like, almost like, it's not like California or San Francisco or San Diego or Monterey. It's not like bustle, bustle, hurry, hurry, crime here and there. Everywhere. It's more like relax, but you gotta get something done. And like there's a few crimes every here and there. And it was like really, really, really laid back, especially in the open country. And I remember that time when we got lost, and you were on the wrong side of the road, and we were surrounded by hedges, and we had no idea where we were, and there was no GPS, there was no nothing, and eventually we had to ask someone, I think.
I think we asked a whole lot of someones.
Yeah, we really
did. Is that the day you called Grammy's Great Adventure Day?
Yeah, I called that Grammy's Great Adventure.
Yes, because we had only 2.5 hours. We were only 2.5 hours away from where we were going, and we drove for 9 hours and didn't get there. Do you remember that?
Yeah, you went all the way down, down all the way to the tip of Ireland, and then we were supposed to be, like, up past Dublin. Like, if you know the shape of Ireland, Dublin is kind of square in the middle, I guess. It's like, yeah,
of the eastern side, that's true. So we actually went the opposite direction. And do you remember, Amelia, what you said you learned when I finally found my way. Do you remember what you learned?
That was a really epic Grammy adventure.
Yeah. I remember what you told me. You said, Grammy, I learned today that if you decide you're going to do something, you are going to get it done. Do you remember that?
Yeah. I think so.
Well, that was a great thing to share with you. I'm sorry I put you through it. But you did such a good job. You were so supportive. So thank you for telling me the story. I'm going to be asking a lot of people to talk with me. This is going to be on my birthday, and I'm going to be 73 in about 3 days. So I look forward to celebrating that with you. I'm going to see you in person on Thanksgiving Day. Thank you for doing this with me. I love you, love you, love you. Bye.
Love you too. Bye.
My next guest is another friend that has been in my life for over 40 years. And in fact, he and I dated 44 years ago. And it's my friend John Clopton. And we seem to have in common and have shared together over the years an interest in both the metaphysical and the psychological. So, John, you want to say something about that?
Yeah. As you know, Eileen, I'm working on a book which I call A New Psychology and Spiritual Philosophy. And I take my start from Jung's division of psyche into four parts: sensation, emotion, intellection, and intuition. Intuition meaning the spirit. So only one of the four is physical. The other three we keep working on, whether or not we're in the physical or not, according to my interpretation. But we need to work on it here and now, too, both the psychological and the spiritual together.
Well, I totally agree with you, and have been doing that in my work as a therapist, in my personal life, too, as you know.
Yeah, that's what I was referring to, really, that you're doing exactly that. And I find that exactly what I find important. So that's what you've been doing as long as I've known you.
Great. That's true. Thanks for bringing that out. John, the questions that I'm asking people are there aspects of me that have been challenging for you? And I'll follow up with that as, are there aspects of me that have either been inspiring or helpful or important to you in a positive way?
Well, the thing I find most important is just that you're a fellow traveler. We're on the same basic path, which not many people are on, which is this combining of the spirit and the psyche, both in psychotherapy. I don't do psychotherapy, but both with respect to psychotherapy and spiritual achievement.
I just remembered that you and I actually met in an Aikido class, didn't we?
That's right.
Yeah. That was a long time ago, where I was determined to work with energy. That's what we were working with in that class more than anything.
Right. Yeah.
So over the years you've known me, John, are there any particular characteristics besides the fact that we have this common interest that you see as beneficial or positive or have been important to you that I possess or utilize?
Nothing that I haven't already said, Eileen, just working on the same basic issues what the world needs, basically. Nothing more than that, really. It's about as high as you can get.
Thank you. Always the profound. So the next question then is, do you have a story about some experience we've had together or some way in which I've impacted you or your life?
Well, no, I guess not, dearie. I can't think of anything, any particular story other than our conversations over the years.
Yes, and we have had some really good ones. I have stories about you. I think I mentioned this to you the last time we got together. Because when we were dating, we lived quite a distance from one another. A lot of our contact was over the telephone. And You were writing then also, and you would tell me, I talked with my guides today, and they were particularly helpful, and I had a good day writing and so forth. And I was maybe about 30 years old at that point. And one day I said to you, John, are you telling me that you talk to people you can't see and you get help from them? And you said, of course. And I said, John, I can't ask people for help that I can see. How do you do that? And you were so, you really helped me. You said, well, you just ask. You just, you know, there are energies around us that want to help, but you have to ask them. And so the next time my back was really up against the wall, I remembered our conversation and I said, okay, now's the time. Help, I need help. And I immediately started feeling calm. And it was a great gift you gave me.
I don't remember that saying I actually talked with my guides, but I do reach toward that level all the time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I commune in one form or another. I really believe we're not supposed to wait for grace just to come wafting down upon us, but we're supposed to use our yearnings and our reachings to move toward it and to invite it to move toward us. And that's we're supposed to work with spirit all the time. We weren't meant to be alone completely and do it ourselves.
That's really nice and comforting. So a number of people have projected that I may live another 25 to 30 years, John. So one of the things I'm asking people who've known me for a while is, what do you see for me in my life in the coming 25, 30 years? Can you give me a picture of what you think might unfold for me?
I think just what we've been talking about. I think just ever more full realization of the utility of working with spirit in association with our own psyche. And you're getting just more and more clear and straightforward about that.
That's great. There seem to be a lot of people in the world who are ready to do that now, which is a comfort. At least that's what I see on this through the work that I do with the radio program. Well, it's, as you know, been a pleasure to have you in my life for all these many, many years. I just remembered another story that, if with your permission, I will tell.
Sure.
Well, you and I were dating about the time my daughter was a year old, and as we got sort of toward the end of our time of dating, you said you didn't think you would be coming around much anymore. And I challenged you and I said, well, why not? What's happening? And you said, well, I think I'm running out of superlatives for your daughter. It just cracked me up. I've never forgotten that.
Sounds like me just saying things that might work. You know?
Well, it brought a lift to my life, and I've loved it for all these years, yeah. John. Thank you.
Okay, Diane.
Well, thank you very much for participating and helping me to celebrate my 73rd birthday. It's been a pleasure having you part of my life.
Right back at you, Irene.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Bye. My next guest is my firstborn, my wonderful daughter, Liz Schroeder, who now lives across the country from me in North Carolina. And Liz, welcome to Full Power Living. I really appreciate you talking with me today. Tell our listeners what it is that you are doing in your life these days.
Well, currently I am an instructor of communication at Wake Tech Community College in Raleigh, North Carolina. And that means I teach about 7 classes. I tutor also. I'm a mom of 3 people, so that takes some brain power and some coordination. So I have a daughter at UNCG and another daughter at UT Dallas, and my son is a junior in high school. And I'm also a wife. I guess I have to throw that one in. And I raise puppy, multi-poo. So that's all-consuming sometimes as well. We have puppies in our living room almost 24/7, 365 at this point, and that's a whole bunch of fun. What other things have I done? I went hiking on the Appalachian Trail for 245 miles. I did that in two different stints, one with my eldest child, and then the next 74 miles I did with my other daughter and my son. We went through the Smoky Mountains. So I do a little bit of everything.
Right. And let me just make note that you have been highly energetic, a challenging, strong person since you were born. And
thanks.
No, it's wonderful. It's a wonderful quality. So as I explained to you before we talked, I have been working on learning to receive. So I would like to essentially receive some feedback, some information from you. And the area where I'd like to receive is, I know there are things about me that have been challenging for you, and there may also have been qualities of mine that have been particularly positive for you. So I'd like you to share whichever of those you'd like to share.
Okay. Well, I think you had mentioned that we were going to cover both of those. That's kind of a difficult question. What has been challenging about my mother?
Right.
I would have to say that you, too, are a very strong-willed person. So the two of us living under the same roof growing up, I do recall at times us clashing because you wanted it your way and I wanted it my way. I also think that another challenging thing was that you were very giving of your resources and time and energy towards me, but that it would then deplete you of those resources, and then there would kind of be a pendulum swing back the other way while you corrected. And so that's been something that I've had to focus on for myself, is maintaining a balance rather than an all or a nothing at times.
I'm glad I could teach you something. That's good.
Thank you so much for giving me that opportunity.
You're welcome.
And I also use you in my classes, quite frankly, when I'm talking about the dynamics of going back and forth, because, of course, I was raised partly at my dad's house and partly at your house, and dealing with the different ways that family was done, was difficult, but that was part of the circumstance of my life. And I also use you in my classes to talk about ageism and what is old, right? What is getting up there? And typically in most of my classes, it would be like, oh, 35, right? And I say, so if I told you about this woman who went zip lining and swam with a cougar, and I don't mean a woman who likes younger guys, but an actual cat, right? And who does spelunking and does downhill skiing and goes hiking, how old would that person be? Well, that would be a 35-year-old. I'm like, no, that's my mom, you know. And so I am able to break some stereotypes, and that's been part of who you are for forever. I also use you as an example of being able to deal with uncertainty. So the whole idea of getting in the car and just driving and then camping type of deal, without much planning other than getting the provisions for the trip, that has allowed me to feel comfortable taking my children all by myself up into the mountains where there are bears and snakes and, you know, all that, and being attacked by an eagle, and just going, well, this is what we're doing today. So being able to take on challenges that would normally, I think, paralyze people, you gave that to me.
Wow.
As, you know, per your example. I don't think I would feel comfortable in our society, or as comfortable at least. I know I'm crazy, but as a woman doing those kinds of things.
Right.
And therefore, that means that especially my eldest, who is she'll be 20 in March, she wants to hike the entire Appalachian Trail, and her boyfriend can come with her if he wants, but she's going type deal. So, you know, it's not just for me. It's also for the next generation as well.
Wow. You know, the Native American, some groups want to do things that will persist down seven generations. And so let's see how far this goes. Just know that was my aim. That's really great. And I would add in, Liz, that you and I did our first backpacking trip by ourselves when you were six.
Mm-hmm.
We went to
the
Marble Mountain Wilderness area for a week together.
So I do remember that. I remember being in an orange tube tent in the downpour and playing War.
Right. That was it. That was our vacation.
Yeah. That was. And it was hail and thunder and lightning. And that's kind of funny because one of the things that you deal with when you're on the Appalachian Trail is all the thunder and lightning storms that you encounter, especially in the afternoons and evenings. And one of our best experiences was being, I think it was Cold Creek, I'm not quite sure the name of it, but on the side of a mountain, or rather on the top of a mountain, but on this overhang, that's where we had room to pitch our tent and having the storms roll in. And we got on our cell phones, because now you're always connected even when you're not, and and we were texting to people, and I was actually Facebooking it. Hey, we're in the middle of this horrible storm, and it's awesome. You know? So, you know, not afraid of that stuff, too. And normally I think people would be crouching, you know, fearing for their life. We were just enjoying it. And, again, my daughter loved it and still recalls it. So
you have no idea how that how that fills my heart. One of the things that I am able to do is to look back over the years now, and that's part of what this project is helping me to do too, and see how some of the decisions I made, how some of the ways I behaved, some of the things I decided to do, how those actually did impact the people around me, and especially those who have come after or are coming after me. So it's wonderful that you give this feedback. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Sure. Well, I was going to ask you if you have a particular story. You've given a lot of information. Do you want to also put in a story, or would you like to go to your prediction for how my life might unfold in the next 25 or 30 years?
Well, let's put the 25 or 30 years on hold, because I have no idea about that quite yet, but I'll let my brain do that work. I can remember Christmases. I remember when you got your second husband, my stepfather, a boat for Christmas. And instead of just having it outside, you brought it into the house. And it was just the rowboat. Do you remember doing that?
No.
You don't?
No, I don't remember that.
Well, you did. And so it's things like that where you would stage things and make magic happen on that holiday. That was just a wonderful thing as a kid to know that magic happened on Easter and on Christmas. It was great. Being able to buy a pony and put it in the backyard, and having a mom that allowed me to do that was pretty cool. All the opportunities, rarely, which is what I passed along to my kids, is if you do your work, then you can also do your creativity, your play, and just them knowing it, and they are self-starting and self-finishing children now, and I think that you gave that to me. And on that note, I guess I could segue into the next 25. So I don't know if that's a particular story, but...
Let me put just one thing in. I want our listeners to realize that you read the newspaper ads and got on your bicycle with my permission and rode your bicycle 1 or 2 miles from our home, found a pony, made a time overtime buying bargain with the owner, and bought your own pony when you were 10 years old. I want to just bring that out because that was pretty remarkable.
Well, that was in Sleepy Hollow, so that was maybe 3 or 4 miles.
Yes, maybe it was. It was a long, that was a long road.
They were all the way at the end near the school. They definitely were. I think I rode that pony home those 3 or 4 miles.
Yes.
That's how I got her home. Her name was Chiquita, if we can recall.
Yes.
All right, so 25 or 30 years from now, and you're turning, are you sharing your age?
Oh, yes. We're celebrating 73rd. The last 72 and starting the 73rd, yes.
Right, exactly. So that makes you in your 90s, right?
Yeah.
My goodness. Well, I see you as still hiking. There's a part of me that recalls Mrs. Sink, our next door neighbor, who she passed away in her late 90s, I think. Is that correct?
She was 98, yeah.
Yeah, she was 98, and she walked every day, and she swam every day, and she was engaged intellectually right up to the end. And I'm picturing your end, but what I mean by that is...
That's fine.
That
you can talk about it.
She didn't let anything hold her back from my recollection. And I see you as continuing to be yourself and do things. I do see you possibly, because your husband is ill, I see you possibly being alone in the sense of no marital partner, but I wouldn't put it past you to go out there and you know, find somebody that you can hang with again, you know. I see you as someone who might go on to meetup.com there's a little plug for them, for a hiking partner or a travel partner and finding really interesting people to be with. I see you as someone who, because you were so dedicated to your children and to your work, you didn't get to really collect a whole bunch of friends around you when you were my age and younger. And I see you going forward as creating a sense of community and being with people who have like interests and kind of shifting gears in your personal life to allow for that. So I guess that's a kind of a social side of you. I do a paper that's called The Ideal Self, to talk about who you are now and who you want to be and what your plan is to get there. And so I'm thinking in my mind, you're going to continue... We touch on 3 different areas, your spiritual self, your material self, and, oh my goodness.
Your everyday self?
What you have now, materially, when people look at you. And I see that as probably reducing. You're in a pretty big house now. I see maybe you becoming much more travel-oriented,
yes.
I guess.
Yes.
And so reducing the amount of material things and getting on the road and doing what it is that you love to do. And so that's material self. Relationships, I see you as collecting more people into your life. And spiritually, I see you came from a family that was incredibly military, but it was very strict and I feel like it was confining.
Yes.
And I think that you're continuing to mellow out from that. And it's, you've come a long way, baby, but maybe you want to go even further into just chilling and having a good time, and not feeling as stressed as you do now with the challenges that you have of balancing your work and your family and your ill husband responsibilities. I think you're going to have more fun.
That sounds really good. And we should set as an aside that my stepmother did remarry when she was 84.
Yes, I was keeping that in mind when I thought about that.
But, yeah. You know, talking with you and talking with Jonathan on this program, my two children, the best testimonial I could have for a wonderful life is who the two of you are. And I know anybody listening to what you've been saying, Liz, is going to be really impressed. You're my daughter, by golly. You really have your feet on the ground. You are busy in your life. You are exploratory. You're, you know, there's so many positives, and I'm really, really proud of you. And I thank you for all that you've given me right now, plus any other time, but all that you've given me, but also, more importantly, who you have become. I couldn't ask for better, and thank you.
Well, thank you. Well, thank you very much for that. That's really sweet. Hopefully, yeah, my kids, when I'm your age, will have nice things to say, too.
You just keep taking them out there on that Appalachian Trail, okay?
Yeah, exactly. That was one of the things, is I felt like I got back to my roots, mm-hmm. And was able to share that unique experience. You have to be a unique individual to like getting stinky for weeks at a time. And the people that you meet when you do the kinds of things that I was taught were possible is amazing. And I guess one other thing, and this is a story and maybe a self-correction and also something that I'm learning about myself, is that whenever you taught classes, and I'm sure when you're online with the radio show, you tell or teach by stories. And I used to hate that you would use me in your stories.
You're getting me back.
Well, I'm finding that not only do I have stories about you, but I tell stories about my own children when I'm teaching. And yet, you know, is that personal? Yes, it is. But whenever I get reviewed by students, the majority, 99% of them, say the stories she tells bring the concept to life.
Yes.
I can learn from them. So I'm eating my own words from when I was younger, and I had that embarrassed cringe factor, in that I am now incorporating all the stories that I collect in my personal life and from my students, and that's what enables me to do the job that I do. And I know that comes directly from how you teach and how you work. And so that's another thing. I think you're never going to stop telling stories. In 25 or 30 years, you're going to still be cranking them out. And so that's something that I've learned from you, about you, and now about myself.
Well, wow, that's really great. Well, one of the explanations I give is, if indeed this is a big giant school we're all in, then our lives are our laboratories. And so we know the results from our own experiments, failures, successes. And I'm sure you do what I did and do, which is not to be telling the stories because we still have raw emotion hanging from them and they're incomplete, but by way of sharing what it is that we've learned as we've gone mm-hmm. through life. Is that true for you?
Well, yes. And you know, I just came from work where I was tutoring people how to give public speeches, and the point that I was making, because everybody gets so centered in on themselves, I said, this is a gift for your audience. And a story that you can tell to, and you use when you're teaching, is one that is not based necessarily in raw emotion, though I do have a story that I deal with when talking about dealing with emotions and emotional messages. But it's a story that you're giving to your audience. It's no longer yours. It's for them. And that's why I use stories, because they can relate to it. The narrative that you can use to describe a concept or get a point across, you want to bring it to life for your audience, so that they can use it in their life. We're not just sitting there getting information so we can regurgitate it back, but rather so that we can apply it to our own lives. And so that's where stories come in for me. It's a gift that you give to your audience.
That's lovely. I'm sitting here thinking, gee, I should have set up an entire show with you, or maybe with you and John together. You guys have such wonderful things to say. However, we need to leave room for other people, so I'm gonna draw this to a close with my really heartfelt thanks, Liz, for all that you've shared today and for your time. And I know you haven't been feeling well, so I hope you feel well soon. And
thank you.
Happy Thanksgiving, and thank you for helping me celebrate my 73rd birthday.
Well, happy Turkey Day, Mom. I know that John and Ann are going to be coming to cook for you. Is that correct? Is that what's going
on? It's actually Robin that's coming to cook for me.
Oh, that's Robin. Okay.
Robin and Becca.
So you're going to be receiving, even on Turkey Day,
yes,
the gift of a lovely meal.
Yes.
From my adopted daughter.
Yes. Yes.
Yep.
And
so that's awesome.
You could come too if you didn't live across the country from me, but.
I think no guilt there. Did I tell you the story of myself? No. I was just talking to Warren, my husband, about the fact that I do need to visit you guys in the upcoming summer. And so hopefully that's something that can happen. So
we'd
you
love
can receive
it.
Me there, too.
Oh, good, good. Well, come yeah. and, come and we'll share stories. I love you, dear.
Okay.
Thank you.
Love you, too. Okay.
Bye-bye.
Take care. Bye-bye.
My guest is Marty Friesen, who is a friend that I've had for more than 35 years, and I have spent every Thanksgiving, with the rare exception in that time, with Marty and her husband Rich, who's also been interviewed for this program. And so, Marty, thank you so much for coming to help me celebrate my 73rd birthday on the air.
Thank you, Eileen, and I can't believe this is your 73rd birthday. I think you're like maybe 60 at the most, maybe not even that.
First, let me start by asking you, Marty, what it is that you'd like people to know about what you do in your life.
I'm, like you say, a lifelong friend, and I met you when I was young and raising children. I was a glassblower at that time and with my husband, but it was an intense 3 months out of the year work, and the rest of the time I was a stay-at-home mom, and I enjoyed doing that while my three children were being raised. And sort of as an avocation in the evenings, I started singing. I have a degree in music, but I dropped it when I graduated to go into business with my husband. So I started singing and really enjoyed it, and I had maybe a 20-25-year career of singing with choral community choruses and even doing solo work and traveling on choral tours in Europe as a soloist. That was lots of fun. I have helped my husband in more business startups than I can even count. And now I'm really enjoying this phase of my life where I get to be a grandmother and I get to play. I have three grandchildren. Two of them are here right now from Seattle for Thanksgiving, and one will be coming tomorrow. And I have the real privilege of being a grandma where I can play with them, love them, buy them toys, do all sorts of things with them, and I don't have the ultimate responsibility, and I don't have to get up in the middle of the night, and it's just wonderful to see the world unfold through fresh new eyes, because mine are kind of old and jaded. I've seen it all, done it all. So that's enough about me.
All right. So now let's talk about me. Enough about you. Tell me what.
Enough about me. What about you?
Yeah, tell me what you think about me. No, that's an old joke. So I've been asking people, Marty, if there are aspects of me that are challenging to them, or aspects that they think are particularly beneficial, if you will. And so, what's your answer to those questions?
Well, gee, I knew that you were going to ask me about the challenging one, and I thought, oh, well, that's a really challenging question. I love all parts about you, and I love your differentness and your forthrightness and how you're willing to say how you see the world. And you manage to say it in such a non-judgmental, non-threatening way. But enough of a good thing, let's go to the challenging thing. Okay, so here's one. This is how I first met or didn't meet Eileen, is that I took my first child when he was about 4 down to Fairfax Park to join the Pee Wee Soccer League. And he went down there, and that's where he met Eileen's son, Jonathan. They were both deciding whether they were going to be in Pee Wee Soccer. And I don't think Jonathan did it either. But anyhow, Jeremy came home and said, "That ain't for me." He was a 4-year-old. But we realized that there was another boy close enough here on the hill that they could be playmates. The rest of you don't know, but I live on the top of this really windy road all the way top of the hill in Fairfax, and Eileen lived on the same hill about halfway up. And when we moved into our house, we were the young people on the block, and there were absolutely no children. They were all older people. And now we are the old people on the block. We're the oldsters, and there's a whole crop of young babies on the hill, which is really lovely. But at that time, there wasn't anybody to play with, so I was interested in Jonathan as a playmate. So I guess I wasn't brave enough. So I had Rich call Eileen and ask if we could arrange a play date. And he came back and he said, she turned me down. She said she was too busy and she was a working mom and she couldn't manage play dates. And I said, what? That was my, how dare she turn my son down as a playmate?
I don't remember that.
Really? Yeah, that was my first impression was, what do you mean? She doesn't want them to be playmates. And then, gee, when did they really start hooking up? It was, I guess, grade school when he went to, they must have known each other before MCDS, didn't they?
Yes. Yes, they did.
Anyhow, they did become playmates anyhow. And when I got to know Eileen, I had to really respect and admire her because I didn't realize and appreciate that you were raising your children all by yourself. You were supporting them, supporting yourself, getting them where they had to go, plus being a therapist and seeing clients, and you were managing this very difficult and complicated schedule. And I felt a little bit ashamed myself that I had passed any judgment on you because I had it so easy compared to you because, you know, I had a husband and he provided money for me, and I was raising my children, and I had it really cushy. So I mentally, anyhow, I had ate my words because I realized that you are really doing a great job in a very difficult situation.
That brings tears to my eyes. Thank you. That's
You're
all.
You're so welcome. I just had so much respect for you as I watched you parent.
Do you have a story about interacting with me? Something that stands out?
Well, the time that you really stepped up and helped Rich and I with a really, really difficult parental problem with one of our children is the thing that stands out the most for me, that you were so supportive and so able to hear all sides of the problem and to interject some calm and some confidence and some perspective so that it worked out. But you were, I was just blown away by how good you were with people. That's the single most important thing that stood out for me.
Oh, thank you. Yes, I remember that.
Other things, lessons I've learned from you. Can I go there?
Sure.
Lessons I've learned from you. Let me say one of the most valuable lessons I learned from you was that life, your view that life is a classroom, and it's teaching you things. And if you refuse to learn it, it's going to come back around and you're going to have to go through the lesson all over again.
Yes.
It's really a helpful concept, and sometimes it's not a very welcome one because it's most apropos when I'm in a really difficult, painful situation that I really don't want to be in and I just want it to go away. And I'll stop and I'll think, what am I supposed to be learning from this? Well, I don't ever have to feel like this again.
It's a really big motivator, isn't it? Yeah.
Yes, it is. And so that was so helpful for me to learn that from you. The other thing I learned from you was, well, I grew up in a very strict Midwest religious family, and it was, you weren't allowed to toot your own horn, and you weren't really encouraged to ask for what you needed. And somehow I had this feeling that if I wanted something, particularly from, one of my kids, or particularly from Rich, from my husband, if I had to ask for it, say if I wanted appreciation for something I'd done good, if I wanted to be appreciated for it, if I had to go and ask for it, then the appreciation didn't count, and I wouldn't absorb it, and I discounted it. And what I saw you doing, you told me, well, I have to wear both hats in this family, so I've taken to getting appreciation by, I'll cook a good meal, and I'll say to the kids, look at this meal. I grew those vegetables, and I picked them, and I cooked them, and isn't that great that I was able to do this? And you said, I ask for appreciation when I need it. And I thought, wow, what a concept. You mean it's just as good if you have to ask for it? So that was another valuable lesson.
Wow. Yes. Well, just, it's interesting. I've been hearing some of these things. And just as a matter of clarification, I had to learn how to do that too, because I certainly didn't grow up appreciating myself, but I learned the power of it, and I think we've now expanded it into gratitude, that it really is powerful, and if we keep thinking that somebody else has to give it to us, we may never get it. So you might as well. Might as well.
Yeah, that idea that, oh, maybe if I have this hole or this need, I could do something to fill it myself. I'm very empowering.
Yes. Yes, and what I've learned as time has gone on, Marty, is that the more I fill those holes for myself, the more other people are stepping in to give me a lot as well. It sort of draws them to do it too. So I'm actually getting much, much more than before I learned to do that. So that's I really appreciate that piece of feedback. Thanks.
Well, thank you. It's been very useful for me. And I must say, I don't always live up to it.
Well, we are all human, my dear.
But I thought, yes, I am. We are all learning.
None of us live up to it.
Oh, you mean I'm not the only one?
Yeah, that's like I was talking with my husband, Bob, one time, and he was saying one of his children was not being appreciative of something, or that he made mistakes or something, and I said, you needn't get all upset about it. It's the design of things. Parents are supposed to not be perfect, because if they were perfect, your children would never have anything to learn.
Oh, well, that's a good freeing point.
Yeah. So some people that have appeared on this show, Marty, have told me I may live another 25 or 30 years. So one of the fun questions I've been asking my friends is, do you have a prediction or an idea of where I may go in the next 25 to 30 years?
Oh, my goodness. Let me think. I think that your radio shows and the work you do with people is dynamite. And so I envision that you are not retiring from that and ready to sit at home and just, well, I don't know, maybe you are ready to sit at home and grow vegetables.
No, I'm not.
Maybe a little bit more time. But I envision you getting more and more well-known, and because you are so comfortable both on the internet radio and on phone talking with people, and you have so much insight, I think that your renown is going to continue to grow, and you'll be like in your 80s and giving people sage advice. I see you growing, expanding, and would like to say wise old woman, but I really never think of you as old.
Oh, let's stop there. That's wonderful. Marty, thank you very much for helping me to celebrate my 73rd birthday.
Happy birthday. And here's the thing. I am so sorry you're not going to be with us. There's been so many years, but I'm pleased for you that you're going to have this special Thanksgiving with your girls and with Bob and your birthday on the same day. I'm pleased for you.
Thank you. I'll miss you guys, but I'll be there next year.
Okay.
All right.
All right.
I'm burning the marshmallows. Thanks.
All right. Thank you for the opportunity to participate and tell everybody all the wonderful things that you and I have experienced together.
Thank you.
Well, not all of them. We can never go there, but some of them.
All right. Thank you so much. Mm-hmm. What a gift.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
All right. My next guest is my wonderful granddaughter, my son and daughter-in-law's daughter, Ava, who is 7 and in the second grade. And I was there for Ava's birth, so I've known her whole life long. Ava, thank you very much for being on my program to celebrate my 73rd birthday. Welcome.
No problem. Thank you.
Uh-huh. Like I was telling you, I'm asking people to talk about how I may have affected their life, how I've mattered in their life. Do you want to tell us something about how I've mattered in your life?
How you've mattered in my life is you've really shown me a lot of things that I didn't really know.
Well, that's interesting. Can you think of one of those things? What kind of thing did I show you that you didn't know? I know one. About pioneers and settlers.
Yes.
Yes. We had this conversation, right, about how we could divide people in the world into pioneers or settlers.
Yeah.
Yeah. And we also discovered, because your mom is a settler and your dad's a pioneer, how hard it is sometimes for pioneers and settlers to live together, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. That was good. That was a good discussion. And so, do you have a story of something that we've done together that mattered to you?
I do remember when I was a kid and you really wanted to really show me a lot of things that can teach my life to be better.
Yeah. You want to talk about going fishing?
Yeah. So, when I was going fishing, you taught my dad how to really teach others to show how to help and be kind.
Wow. That's so very nice, Ava. Thank you.
You're welcome.
So some people say that I might live another 25 or 30 years. So I'm asking people what do you see that might happen in my life from now on?
I think that from now on, you will always care about others and make sure that they're okay.
Wow. All right. Well, thank you, Ava Lambert, for being on my radio program. Those are all the questions I have. Right?
You're welcome.
All right. I love you, dear.
Bye.
Bye-bye. My next guest is my wonderful sister, Marty Russell, who has appeared on Full Power Living previously when she suggested a program on Marley's Mutts. And Marty, you live in Plano, Texas, and tell us what you do in Texas.
Hi, Eileen. Yes, I'm a nurse here at one of the larger hospitals in the Dallas area, and I work as a family, they call it a family-centered care RN, helping new babies and families in a really great place in their lives as a lactation postpartum baby nurse.
That sounds wonderful. And so I'm asking people as part of my learning to receive and also because I'd like a birthday present to tell me who I've been for them in their lives. And you and I have been in each other's lives. Note that you are significantly younger than me. You're my, quote, baby sister. And so I've been a part of your life for a good period of time. What is that? What's that been like for you?
Well, you've always been a constant in my life. You've been a great supporter. You've challenged me to grow. You have helped me see situations from different perspectives. You know, you've stood beside me through difficult situations like divorces, like remarriages, job changes, abusive relationships, anorexia. I mean, you've always been there for me. You've always been very receptive to listening. I felt like I could talk to you about any subject and get honest feedback. You know, sometimes when you try to talk to your friends, they don't tell you gut level what they think about your scenario, but you always have. You've all sometimes at times been almost painfully honest. but you have, I guess one of the biggest gifts you've done is help me to see a situation from a different perspective, because sometimes when you're by yourself and you're analyzing a problem, it seems like a big deep well that you could only see maybe one way to try to get out of it. And you turn the scenario around where there's numerous possibilities to get out of the well. So I guess in a sense you help provide guidance and hope. I know that when I was younger and going through anorexia, I think you saved my life because you recognized the disease process for what it was before there was really a name on it, or just as it was getting a name back in the 70s, and did research and found someone here in Texas to help me with that. You know, you sort of dig into a problem with me and, again, find those different avenues for solutions.
Wow, thank you for that. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It was really amazing that at the time, the world authority on anorexia and bulimia was only 60 miles from where you lived. That made it easy for me.
Yeah.
But I'm glad.
But convincing our parents probably that there was a true, you know, problem was a whole nother issue. So you did a good job of talking to them, you know, because they were not the most open parents, you know, for non-conventional treatments.
Right, you know? For emotional problems, so to speak.
Right,
yeah.
Right. Yeah. So you did research, you did a lot of, I call it tap dancing with our folks, enabled me to go and get help, so I'm very grateful and thankful for that.
That is so cool. I'd almost forgotten about that. Wow. You've come a long way, baby.
In some regards, yeah.
So do you have a story of something that has happened when both of us were there that has had meaning for you?
Well, when I was going through, you know, an ugly divorce, numerous times appearing in court, I remember feeling pretty isolated. I was here in Dallas with a, you know, 2-year-old child and no family in close proximity. And I remember you coming up with a creative solution to fly here to the Dallas area and give lectures on family-centered care, different topics anger management. You created opportunities for you to come and spread your knowledge at the same time helping me and being supportive of me. So we got to visit Katie, my daughter, your niece, got to get to know you really well. I hope you got to write some of it off as a tax write-off, too. But, you came up with a really innovative solution, I thought, that helped many individuals around you. So I was always grateful for that because I didn't feel that kind of support throughout the rest of our extended family. But you were, again, there and supportive and creative. So I really appreciate that.
I seem to recall that you did a great job of connecting me up with people who might want to listen to what I had to say. So it was a good partnership, I think.
Yes, it was.
Yeah. Well, as I've been sharing with people, thank you so much, Marty. As I've been sharing with people, I've had a couple of psychics tell me that I could live as old as 105. So here I am turning 73. That's a good 30 years left. So I'm challenging people to tell me what they think might happen with my life over the next 25 or 30 years. Got a prediction?
Well, you know, you've always been so unique. I think you are impacted by people as they come in and out of your life. You know, you were so open to listening to others' stories and suggestions and favorite travel places that you take that information and then turn it into your own adventure. So it's hard to say exactly what you would be doing, but my guess is you'll be doing some traveling, giving lectures, staying with some local person in a town. I seem to think back to the time when you and one of your grandchildren were in Ireland staying at a pub, you know, in the back apartment of a pub. I mean, you always seem to find these fun, unique places to stay, you know, that add so much to your trip and the stories involved around your trip. So and I hope that you and I get to do some traveling because we've done some, but not as much as I would like. So I think I'd like to replicate the sisterhood of the traveling pants with maybe you and I doing some trips to Europe or Asia.
Wow. All right. I'm gonna go do my sit-ups now so I stay in shape. Well, thank you, Marty, for helping me to celebrate my 73rd birthday by talking about what kinds of influence I have had with you and also with others as based on what you've said. It's thank you for taking your time to do this.
Sure.
I love you.
I love you, too.
My next interview is with my granddaughter, Natalie, who's the middle child of my daughter, Liz Schroeder, interviewed on this program. And Natalie, you're now, tell us about exactly how old you are and what you're doing in your life right now.
I am 18 years old, and I am a student at the University of Texas at Dallas. And my major is biology, and I have a minor in neuroscience.
In neuroscience, all right, and may I just add in there that you're there on full scholarship because you're a National Merit Scholar, and we're all very, very proud of you for that. But I'm sure that puts a little pressure on you also because you have to measure up, right?
Maintain my grades to continue to go to school. Yeah.
Right, but as your grandmother, I just want you to know I'm really, really proud of you for all of that.
Thank you.
Sure. So now one of the questions is to what are aspects of me that have been challenging to you? If any, of course, you don't have to go into it.
You have a tendency to repeat stories a lot, and I actually find that more endearing than anything, but sometimes it's kind of just like Grammy.
Right. And would you tell people who are listening the plan when you were visiting, the plan that I offered
yes.
you? Okay.
Yes. Every time you start repeating a story, I say, thank you, Grammy, for telling me this story again. a gentle reminder.
Right. And it causes us both to crack up and laugh, huh? Mm-hmm. Well, I'm watching it. Your mom and I were just talking about stories and how we live on stories, and she predicted that I'd be telling stories forever. And hopefully I won't just be telling the same ones over and over again, Natalie, and you're helping me with that. Thank you.
Hopefully.
So what are qualities that you've encountered in me over the years that have been helpful or positive to you?
You're very supportive, and you always like to keep tabs on what's going on in my life, which is very sweet.
And I know that you and I personally walked all over the streets of San Francisco together one day.
Yes.
When you were visiting also. So I know you like my athletic prowess as well.
Yes, I do. I enjoyed that. When I go visit you, we go hiking.
Do you have a story? That's what I'm going to ask you. Do you have a story of something we've done together that really stands out to you?
Well, yeah, actually, the San Francisco story kind of I find entertaining and stands out to me. There was a bomb threat, and you and I got in the taxi, and we actually ended up going to where the bomb threat was, I thought that was very funny.
It was, so long as it turned out there was actually no bomb there. Yeah, they closed.
Well, we didn't know that at the time.
I know. And we had that crazy.
We ended up going there in a taxi.
With a crazy taxi driver who was lecturing.
Yes, and you managed to make him nice.
Well, I was having fun doing that. He was lecturing us, telling me all the things I was doing wrong as a taxi patron, remember?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it's funny how you can talk any person down and make them nicer. That was really funny.
Great. Thank you. So now let's launch into anything that you may see for the next 25 or 30 years of my life as I get older. How do you see me going into the next 25 or 30 years of my life? Do you have a picture of that?
Yeah. Essentially the same thing you've been doing now, traveling, doing crazy stunts like swimming with wild animals. I've continuing to do that for quite a while.
Great. All right. Well, I do want to talk with you more, but thank you so much for helping me to celebrate my 73rd birthday with this retrospective, sharing how I've been, at least in part, in the past 72 years of my life, Natalie. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
All righty. Next, I'd like to introduce my wonderful son, Jonathan Lambert. John, tell us what you do.
I am currently the chief executive officer of a company that I built, and the chief executive officer of a company that I'm building. So I guess I'm an entrepreneur would be the best way to describe it.
Okay. And you and I have known each other since your beginning. And so on these calls, I'm asking people to tell me some of the things that are difficult about me for them, some of the things they really like, and a story about some time that we've had an experience together, and finally some prediction that you may have for what my life will be like in the next 25 to 30 years. You ready? Go for it.
No. Wow. Okay, so I have to tell you, hold on, we got to go through this. This is a litany here. So the first thing I got to tell you is what? How tall you are?
Some things you don't like about me or that are difficult for you. Some things you do like. A story and what you think is in my future.
Okay. All right, good. That's a lot easier. Thank you. I'm not that smart, so I need things in digestible bites.
Give me a break.
Come on now. Okay, well, things I don't like about you. Really, you're starting the interview with that? That's all right. Things I don't like. Well, Mom, of course, I think you're perfect in every way.
And
I love you.
Please don't do this. Be real. Please be real.
Be real? Things I don't like about you? Well, most of those things melted away when I moved out. So, you know, things that I don't like about you. For many years, I struggled with your inability to move past the past. you know, it was really difficult to relate with you because you grew up in a pretty, you had a pretty intense growing up, and that growing up was very effective for you and became part of your sort of attachment, your attachment to the world. And it was so much a part of your narrative that sometimes getting you to look beyond what had happened to you in your early part of your life, it was taking you out of the present all the time. It was moving you into the past. It was disempowering you. It was always with the stories of what's happened in the history, and not and when you tell those stories, they're valuable from a sharing with other people standpoint, but from a family standpoint, they can sometimes be a little like they root you too much in history and take you out of the power of the present moment. And I think that's probably was my greatest frustration with you.
Thank you. Wow. I know that's so. And so to my credit, I've grown out of that now?
Oh, yeah. I mean, you've made some really – I mean, we had a really big – I don't know if you remember. We had a really big, you know, shall we call it a discussion on the radio? But, you know, we had a really intense interaction where things kind of came to a head, and you changed, you listened. And I think that really took a lot of maturity, especially, you know, something I think a lot of people think that at some point in your life, you get to stop changing. And that's just not the case. You need to continue to be malleable long into the future. And that's something I really saw you were able to do when I took you to task about that, because it was starting to affect, you know, the family. And, you know, sometimes the most important thing that you can do to all the things that have happened is to, you know, let them be their own thing, separate from you know, it's one of the most incredible gifts we have is the ability to forget and forgive and move on, even if we don't lose that part of ourselves.
So are you saying then that one of the things you really like about me is my ability to grow and change?
I think so. I mean, especially, you know, as you've are you really, you know, I think there's a term for this. Isn't this called leading the witness? Yeah. But yeah, if you want to go into number two, I would characterize one of your best traits as your ability to continue to be malleable and to continue to be open to new ideas, to be an intellectual, to be able to separate yourself from ideas and examine them and then integrate them into your life and continue to move forward, you know, as if you were 20 years old and still exploring the world. It's something that I really love about you. I think it's something a lot of people really love about you. And I think it's something that is if we all operate at our very best, we stay open to what happens around us, to the people around us, to the experiences that we have, and we continue to grow, and we don't allow the arbitrary number of how many times we've gone around on the rock to be the foundation of our behavior.
That's really
something
great.
I think is really true.
That's really great. Thank you. Mm-hmm. What about a story?
Oh, man, it's like 20 questions over here. A story. All right, number three. I have so many stories that it's like accessing a catalog. You kind of have to dig around for a while. Man, we have a really intense relationship. It's hard to pick a story.
Well, go ahead and talk about the intensity of the relationship then. What is intense for you?
Well, of course, I'm tempted to talk about the Easter trip we took where you drove the car into the creek.
That's really underhanded.
Hey, come on now. Well, it is for the radio. I mean, this is for posterity, so I have to be honest.
Yes. So I had to be pulled out by a passerby with a winch on his truck.
Well, yeah, I mean, it was a beautiful cold day, and you decided to take us to this now illegal to go to hot spring in the backcountry in way northern California, and a little, I believe it was a 1982 brown Honda Civic, four-door, and I believe it was me and my sister Liz and you, and it was Easter.
Two dogs,
yeah. I remember Buddy and Homer. Homer, who was afraid of everything, and Buddy, who was so old his back legs barely worked, but he just loved his life so much. We just loved that dog. And so here we are, flying through the backcountry. We've already negotiated down one of the most insane – it's been raining like nobody's business. And, of course, you know, you have to understand something about our family, which is kind of when you put your mind to something – neither hell nor high water, and I mean that quite literally, will keep us from getting there. So we had no idea how we were going to get out of this place. But I remember going down, and we actually had to scoop around this one corner because it was so muddy that we had very little control. We just had to drive the car around. And then we came down the hill, and I remember Liz getting really nervous. She's in the front seat. I was in the back, and I had all my candy. I was very excited. It was an awesome day. And as we came down this hill, Liz goes, "Mom, I think we should stop and check the depth with the stick." And you said, "No, it's fine." She's like, "Well, Mom, I really think that we should check the creek. That creek looks really high."
You can't take up the whole hour with this story. Come on.
And as we were coming up on the creek, you know, Liz starts getting really nervous. And what happened was you know, we come and we almost hit the creek, and you drove right into it, right? So you came right into it. And as you drove into it, I remember watching as the water slowly came up the side of the car. And by the time you figured out that it was too deep, I was looking at water come over the front of the vehicle, just literally coming over the hood, touching the glass. And Liz started freaking out, and the water started pouring in. And the next thing I know, you two had gotten out. I think you crawled out the windows and you put me, I believe I was 7 years old, behind the driver's seat, and you guys were trying to push this car back, and the car, of course, is slowly shifting because it's pretty fast water, and it's slowly shifting on the rocks, and like it's threatening to sweep itself downstream, which would have been a disaster. And every time you tell me to drive, I hit the gas, and you guys start jumping like hyenas because all the rocks are hitting you in the feet. And eventually, and the whole time this is going on, there's this guy on a picnic with his family already crossed the water in this giant F-250.
Yes.
And eventually, after about 45 minutes of watching us struggle, he came across and very grumpily pulled us out. And we were there, and I remember you wanted to stay. Everything we owned was saturated, right?
Our sleeping bags were dry, and the reason I went into the creek is because you normally ford the creek at that place, but it was too deep. Let's be really clear.
Oh, absolutely. But I just think that story, you know, obviously, you know, Liz convinced you to go home, which I think was the right move because we would have all – it could have been magical, but – not really. It would have been mostly difficult. And we went home and we took the seats apart and dried them in the driveway. I'll never forget it. And you know, the amazing thing was that car was fine.
Yeah,
it was fine. It was amazing that you could submerge a car like that and even have the muffler underwater.
Well, our friend Kay Hamill said that the lesson for me in all of that, because water represents emotion, was that emotion can go tearing through and it doesn't have to hurt.
Profound. I had no idea.
Yeah. Well, I've been 20 questioning you because we only have an hour, and I got to fit everybody in.
I'd love to give you an entire
hour all by yourself. This is fun.
Okay. Well, I can give you a condensed version. What do I see in your future? You are one of the world's storytellers. Your job is to help others. You know this. I just see you continuing to expand on that role and be freer as, you know, as the responsibilities of the early part of your life move off of you. I think that you're going to be much more effective. Even as others are slowing down, you're going to continue to accelerate in your pace of helping people and being profoundly impactful to people, which I've just watched with wonder over the last 5 years as you sort of rebooted into the next phase of your life and are working more and more and more intensely on really deep problems around emotions and around, you know, spirituality. I think that's where I see you going. I see you continuing to do that work long, long into your life.
Well, I can only say that I'm really glad that I taught, or that I left room for you to be profound too, because I think what you've shared here today is very profound. And thank you, John, for talking with me.
Sorry for dominating all your time. If you ever want a short interview, I can hook you up with somebody else.
Thanks a lot, John. I love you, dear.
I love you, Mom.
I'm Dakey Fox, mentor and visionary in service to the heart opening of humanity. But when I met Eileen, my job description was much simpler. Single mother of 6-month-old twins. Sleep deprived in a chaotic life, I somehow got myself to the Mother of Twins Club meeting where Eileen was teaching about conscious parenting. I listened, and I loved it. I glommed onto her like the drowning woman I was in need of the life raft. And Eileen was just that. During a break, I asked her if she'd be my mommy, and she said yes. Yay! So there I was, quite desperate, because it was 1981, and I had a couple of what we now recognize as indigo babies. And until I met Eileen, there was no one to talk to about making soul and spirit the foundation of my parenting. So Eileen, with her conscious parenting, had had me at hello. From that first introduction to this day, her hands-on, principled understanding has guided my ability to relate to my daughters, and eventually my son, as people in their own wholeness, with their own already activated preferences, likes and dislikes, ready to emerge. Now, it isn't easy to do that because I was taught to control, and I needed therapy to get over my own controlling nature. But, a great example of this, because you asked for examples here, was the park we went to almost every day. And there was this 10-foot slide in the park. It's a great example. Picture this. The girls, the twins, they were less than a year old. They couldn't walk yet, and they crawled a lot. They crawled good. And they get out of the car and make a beeline to the way tall slide. And they wanted to climb up this slide and then slide down all by themselves. And they were very powerful little beings. They would be screaming and fussing if I tried to interfere. But I was afraid it wasn't safe. And I was insecure. And it was just like conflict and trouble. And okay, so Eileen helped me to understand two basic things here that have and continue to be a necessary component of my relationship with life, really. And one of them was that I could teach a 12-month-old to occupy her body by telling her, you are in charge of taking care of your body. And then there was a second thing, which is a little more complicated, but really very basic. And that is that I was not alone. I am not alone. I can ask for help from the life force that flows through me. It flows through the children, and it flows through everything. And I can trust that life force to guide myself and others, my children and others, to do what they need to do and to learn what they need to learn in order to fulfill why they came here and why they're in a body in the first place. So occupy your body and trust that you want to do what you want to do. And so we get this lesson from Eileen. I get it. And we're at the park. I'm at the bottom of the slide. And I talked to each of them. I had permission from Eileen to do this and assume they'd understand. And I even had some lead lines like, it's your body to keep safe. It's not happy to hurt yourself. Falling is a no. Things like that. I mean, this is like, it was really something. But it worked. It worked. And this is exactly what I'd wanted. I didn't have to control behavior. I would be able to, I could guide behavior and to safe outcomes without worry. I got over my own insecurity without taxing the children's enthusiasm or limiting their experiences. They could be, and they still are. I mean, it was a kind of partnership with life that evolved and taught us about how to be respectful. We like grew through all the developmental hurdles that the girls faced. And they got to have adventures instead of traumas, while I was clearing my own old fears and worries and wounds. It was, I mean, talk about a win-win. The twins are now 34 years old and thriving, and I can't imagine who we would have become without Eileen's, I'll call it a proprietary blend of practical knowledge and timeless, principled wisdom. For our family and for so many people, she's been both a refuge and an inspiration for getting to be alive while we're living, for having this way of connecting with what's truly important and bringing it forward without having to compromise. So, I mean, that's just one little story of how this has evolved. And through the years, for me personally, Eileen has also been many hats, a therapist, a colleague, a friend, and obviously a soul partner. So here we are, and I have often wished, and I'm going to do it now too, I have often wished that everyone on planet Earth could have the opportunity to learn and grow with her. And it kind of brings me to this whole idea here, which is celebrating your 73 years. And I do have a wish for you, Eileen. It's not something you haven't heard before, but it's still my wish. What I wish for you, Eileen, is that these next 25 years unfurl an ever-increasing flow of appreciation and interest in your multifaceted work with conscious parenting, raising incredible kids, but also in moving from codependence to interdependence, in being able to partner with one another, using what we might otherwise fear to grow and to learn from. And especially your newest frontier of conscious exploration, I do want for the whole world to begin to see that energy of who we are, the emotions, the energy in motion, is the language of the universe. You have an understanding of that wants to be shared, and now is the time. It's 25 years, go for it. Do it. Take as long as you want. So that's what I would wish for you, that the appreciation and interest in this grows and grows. I mean, we will be a world that works for everyone when people hear the foundational truth you have to share. So, happy birthday! Happy birthday! Happy birthday, you vibrant, beautiful child of creation, my friend.
Full Power Living with Eileen Dillon.